Amen. Why don't we get into the word? Amen. If you have your Bibles, amen, why don't you read along with me in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And then we will read verse 20. Amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the word of the Lord reads like this. It says, "And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand." Verse 20, it reads, "Now it happened in the morning when the rain offering was offered that suddenly water came, water by way of Edom, excuse me, and the land was filled with water." Amen. Suddenly water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. Amen. Let us go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, God. We give you honor. We give you glory. Lord, we appreciate the move of your spirit today, God. We ask you, God, to speak to our hearts, God. Lord, hallelujah, that we would open up our minds and our hearts unto your word and receive what you would have for us today, God. We would adhere, God, to what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Anoint my lips to play, Father, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, have your way. Hallelujah, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. As we ended last year and we prepared to, amen, look forward to a new year, amen, we stand here in a new season together. At the start of new year, amen, I want to tell someone today to keep digging. Amen. To keep digging. Amen. Continue on and keep digging. Amen. As we stand together with a heart of gratitude because the Lord brought us through another year. Amen. Amen. And we just didn't get through another year together. Amen. We endured another year. Amen. I know I did.
Yes.
Amen. And what does the Bible say or tell us about those who have endured and waited on the Lord? Amen. Matthew 24, it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Amen. Isaiah 40, 31, it reads, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. At the beginning of a new year, amen, and as the church continues to move forward into 2026, we're reminded that new seasons require new faith, fresh obedience, and continued work. Someone say amen.
Amen.
2025 might have looked different for some of us. Amen. And when we look back, amen, at times last year, we might remember that times might have not always been so great. That maybe our lands looked a little dry and a little plain. Maybe there were valleys, amen, that felt and looked empty. Places where we planted and sowed, we might not have seen anything at first. But now, hallelujah, that we stand, hallelujah, on the other side, and in a new year, amen, when we look back over our lives, amen, and we look back at everything that we have gone through and everything that we endured, we don't see dry lands. We don't see empty valleys, and we don't see a land that is barren, amen, without any fruit. What we do see is God's faithfulness. Someone say amen.
Yes.
Because if it had not been for God, hallelujah, we would not have made it through another year. Amen. If it had not been for God's grace and his mercy, you and I would not be sitting here today.
Amen.
And when we see God, hallelujah, we see his promises that are fulfilled. In Deuteronomy 7:9, amen, it reads that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant, steadfast love, and with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Yeah.
And just like God fulfilled those promises last year, he's going to do the same this year. Come on, can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Just like he did back then, amen, he's going to do it again. Amen. Someone shout amen.
Yeah.
But as we continue to move forward, hallelujah, there are a few simple things that we cannot forget and we cannot do without.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot forget simply about the basics. Amen. The things that got us here. The things, hallelujah, that guided us here. The things, hallelujah, that carried some of us here today. There are things that we need in this new year, amen, in this new season. And they are essential to what God is going to do and what he will ask us all to do. Amen. And we want to start with first the basics: prayer, fasting, and consecration.
Yeah.
Prayer, fasting, and consecration. And we look in the story, amen. And when we look in the story of King Jeroham in 2 Kings chapter 3, we find a king, amen. He is the son of Ahab, who reigned over Israel and Samaria after his father, amen, passed away. Amen. The king is ready and he's preparing for battle against Moab. The Bible says that he was unlike his father Ahab, and unlike his mother Jezebel, amen, because he was the one who removed the official Baal pillar that his father had put up. Amen. So in his kingship, he removed the one thing that opposed God. But the Bible said that he was still evil in the eyes of the Lord, because although he removed the Baal pillar, amen, he still persisted in his sin, amen. The Bible says, in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, he did not depart from them. And this shows that repentance is more than appearance. It requires complete surrender.
Amen.
Amen. We can't just give the appearance of repentance. Repentance must be all the way. So King Jeroham, he had some work to do. Amen. Nonetheless, he continued to prepare for battle. Amen.
We must obey. And by, amen, the way in which God spoke, amen, in this context, in this scripture, in the fashion that he spoke, amen, I'm going to tell you that God is going to say amen to you and I. He's going to give us a plan. He's going to give us direction that's going to make us feel uncomfortable. Because God is going to ask you to do some things that you've never expected to do. God is going to ask you to do some things, amen, that you probably never thought that you'd be doing. Because before God can make you comfortable, he's got to make you uncomfortable. You can't grow, amen, without being uncomfortable. We will not grow if we remain comfortable. Because that's where the devil wants you. That's where the enemy wants you. Stay seated. You don't got to move. Don't raise your hands. Don't lift your voice. It's okay. You're doing fine. But God is saying, there is greater. There are greater. There are greater things that I have for you. Listen to what thus saith the Lord. Because it's his will, not ours. Amen. One of the servants, when Jehoshaphat stands up and he calls out and he asks, amen, if there's anyone here that can go before the Lord. One of the servants stands up and he says, Elijah, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Elisha, he's the one that submitted before being elevated. He followed Elijah. He learned obedience. He absorbed spiritual discipline. Elisha also recognized a fellow servant in Jehoshaphat. Because Elisha stands up and he says, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. You know, sometimes when God asks you to do some uncomfortable things, you're the only one doing it. Sometimes you got to stand out in the midst of the crowd. Sometimes God is going to do some things that is going to cause you, amen, to look around and say, well, am I the only one? Am I the only one who believes this way? Am I the only one who thinks this way? Am I the only one that is doing the things that I'm doing, amen? And it's important, because then when a man of God stands up, he looks out in the crowd and he said, oh, I see you. Amen, because when we seek God and God sees us, amen, we see God, God will see us. So he looks out and he says, you know what? If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, if it wasn't for his righteousness, if it wasn't for his obedience, if it wasn't for him praying and seeking after God, if it wasn't for him, amen, having the mind of Christ, amen, if it wasn't for him and I being like-minded, I wouldn't even bother with you all. I wouldn't even look at you, he says. I have no business here with you. But because Jehoshaphat is here, I am going to go before the Lord. Amen. It's important, amen, that in this year, amen, we stand up, amen, not just as individuals, but as a church, amen, that we stand up and we proudly proclaim the name of Jesus, amen, that whatever you might have been afraid of then, and whatever doubt you might have had, and whatever worry you might have had, and whatever concern you might have had, amen, all things are passed away, all things become new, amen, that we stand up and we rise up, amen. So Elisha calls the musician. Amen. And he goes before the Lord and he prepares to hear from God. Amen. But I want to point something out really quick before I continue. Amen. The importance, amen, of Jehoshaphat, of his righteousness. Because listen, your labor is not in vain. What you do for Christ, amen, it matters, it counts. From the smallest to the greatest, amen, from the back of the pew to the platform, everything and everything we do counts in God's kingdom, amen. No one here is less than the other. No one here has less than the other. No one here is smaller than the other. God sees us all the same, amen. Whether you're ministering on the platform, whether you're helping in the back, whether you're out in your community, whatever you are doing for God, it is not in vain. And because Jehoshaphat, because he kept his righteousness and his obedience to God, he created spiritual access for the other two who didn't. He brought mercy, amen, to others and a covering that positioned them to hear from God. Romans 5:19, it says, for as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by a man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And this was Paul's contrasting two representatives of humanity, Adam and Jesus Christ. I want you to know today that your obedience can cover and save others. Your obedience to God, when you're in the will of God and you're doing what God asked you to do, those that are around you that need covering, those that are around you that need to hear from God, those that are around you that need to be saved, your obedience will cover them. And this was the importance of Jehoshaphat, amen, being there, amen, in agreement in that crowd, amen. This was his importance. More so, amen, was his obedience to God. Now, when Elisha goes and he comes back and he says, thus says the Lord, he brings back the word. And he says, amen, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water. You won't see rain, you won't see wind, but you will see water. Oh, I feel that today. You won't see rain, you won't see wind, but you will see water. Enough water, hallelujah, amen, so that your cattle, your animals may drink. And that this simple matter, someone say simple matter, in the sight of the Lord, he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. They received the word of the Lord to make the valley full of ditches. No wind, no rain, but that those ditches will be filled with water to drink. How can this be so? How can they end up in such a place? No water, nothing to sustain them. Plan foiled, fell apart. Nothing that they had is going to work. Everything that they thought they had that was going to work is now working against them. Amen. And now they are standing there with their swords in their hand, ready and prepared for battle. And the Lord says, dig ditches. See, this is what happens when we step in, amen, into these plans without the mindset of God. When we are not connected, amen, and we are not, amen, amen, directed by God. They thought that they were preparing for battle. The Lord was preparing them to dig ditches. So what they had to do was they had to lay down their swords and pick up their shovels. Three armies, 7 days in the wilderness. No water, no strength, no options. Every instinct told them they had to continue with their plan. Every idea told them they had to defend the little that they now had, because the attack can come now from anywhere, and now they are vulnerable. But God didn't say, get ready to fight. God said, get ready to dig. Not a trench for the enemy, but to dig a ditch for water that they hadn't seen yet. No rain clouds, no promise, no timing, just a word from God. And I'm going to tell you, church, today that this is all that we need. Is simply a word from God. Amen. There is so much work to be done in this city. There is so much work to be done in our lives. God is saying, you fought all of last year. Amen. You fought battles that weren't even yours. But because you didn't listen and put your sword down, you fought wars that I had already given you the victory. You fought battles that I already handed the enemy over to you. And now the word goes out unto, amen, the generals and the kings. And God is saying, put your swords down and dig. This messes with our theology, our mythology, our ideology, all the ologies. Because what we thought that we had planned, and what we thought was going to succeed, and what we thought was going to work out, God said no, because your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your plans are not my plans. The Bible says that his plans are higher than our plans. Amen. That little thing that you're asking me for is so little to me. Why don't you get on your knees and ask me for something greater, and ask me for something bigger? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is a God that I am referring to. This is a God that I am talking about today. Sister Monique, all we need is a word. And the word was to dig. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you all know this. There is nothing glamorous or glorious about digging. I guarantee you that most of those soldiers would have just stood there holding their sword and their shield, because then at least they would look dignified. At least they would look strong. At least they would look, amen, like a warrior, like a soldier, amen. At least they would have their dignity. But the Lord is saying, amen, that you've got to humble yourself before me, hallelujah. That if you want me to move, it's my way or it's no way, hallelujah. Put your swords down and dig. So the Bible says that they listened and they obeyed and they begin to dig. They begin to dig. And they dug, and they dug, and they dug. God didn't reward their strength. God is not going to reward our intellect. He's not going to reward our strength. He's not going to reward how much you know. He's not going to reward the plaques on your wall. He's not going to reward, amen, the things that you think you know, amen. God is going to reward your obedience. And this is what he did. He honored their obedience. And I'm telling you today, church, there are valleys that have to be dug in your life. There are valleys, amen. There is a valley, excuse me, where trenches must be dug, amen. There are parts of your life where God is saying, continue to dig, continue to dig. I know you're tired. You might be weary. I know your back might be hurting, amen. I know you might got that ache in your neck, but keep digging, but keep digging. I know it might look strange. I know it might look awkward. I know you might feel out of place and out of the ordinary, but remember, you don't serve an ordinary God. Remember, you serve an extraordinary God. So he says to dig and to dig. Stand with me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We all say this, right? Amen. We all read this. But believe me, when we don't obey, it's going to cost you. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2, it says, now it came to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If there was ever a time in my life that I want the Lord, amen, his blessings, his plans to overtake my life, the time is now. But I must obey. Obedience doesn't create your blessing. It positions us to walk in what God has already promised. Because the Bible says in verse 20, it says, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly, someone say suddenly, water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. You know those ditches that you dug last year? God is going to fill them with water this year. You know those promises that you were holding on to last year? God is going to fulfill those promises this year. You know that answer, hallelujah, that you were seeking for last year? God is going to answer those, amen, this year, hallelujah. But you've got to keep digging. You've got to keep digging. Amen, this year, church. We got to lay down our swords. We got to put our swords down at the altar. Right here. We got to pick up our shovels. Keep digging. Keep digging. Somebody says, Brother David, but for how long? I don't know. Keep digging. When is it going to come? I don't know. Keep digging. Hey, I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to pray about it. Keep digging. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to remain faithful in my tithing. Keep digging. I'm going to call pastor and say, Pastor, what is else there? What else is there that I could do for the church? Keep digging. Hey, is there another ministry that I can get involved in? Keep digging. You know why the fight is so hard? It's so tough. The restriction, the friction. It's hard. It's tough. Because because the devil knows that at any time those trenches are going to be filled. So if he can get you to slow down, if he can get you to just put your shovel down for a moment, come on, you deserve that break. I know I'm talking to someone today. Hey, you know what? You're tired today. Don't go to church. It's okay. It'll be all right. It's just another Sunday. Don't sign on to Bible study. It's okay. It's fine. Why don't you sleep in today? You deserve it. You worked hard yesterday. Even your boss came over and tapped you on the shoulder. He never does that. Everything he needs to do to convince you not to obey what thus saith the Lord. You know, the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, right? What happens at night? The fight, the struggle. Kids are fine all day. As soon as the sun goes down, fever goes up. Coughing starts. Aching starts. Why? Because the devil is going to try to do anything he can to keep the morning from coming. Because the Bible says what we just read, once morning comes, those ditches were filled with water. Morning is going to come. 2026 is your morning. I want to know, amen, if there's anybody else here with me today, because I was going to bring a literal shovel, but I couldn't find enough on Amazon to get one for all y'all. So I brought my imaginary shovel with me. And I found the biggest imaginary shovel I could in my imaginary shack. And I brought it with me. And I want to know if there's anybody else who's willing to pick up their shovels with me. And start off, amen, this year, amen, continuing in our digging. Dig those trenches. Dig those ditches. Obey God. No matter how foolish you might feel, no matter how uncomfortable you might be, obey the word of God.